so that we can be about His work outside of us, doing what God has called us to do. God's working in us. As we continue our study in the book of Philippians, we had the title of this message today. It will be Working Out What God Is Working In. Chapter 2, verses 12 on down to verse 18. The last time we talked about it in the book of Philippians, it was a great encouragement for the church to be unified and the church to show humility and have a servant attitude and to be like Christ. Paul brings this down a little bit more for us today in understanding what God is working and doing on the inside of us. Not that we can just be better people, but so that we can glorify Him and serve Him. We are to be about kingdom work. We are to be about God's business. He saved us. We're His children. We're working for a purpose and for a reason. You are called by God for a purpose and a reason. You have your Bibles turned. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18. R.C. Sproul wrote, says, "Loving a holy God is beyond our moral power. The only kind of God we can love by our sinful nature is an unholy God, an idol made by our hands. Unless we are born of the Spirit of God, unless God sheds His holy love in our hearts, unless He stoops in His grace to change our hearts, we will not love Him. To love a holy God requires grace. Grace strong enough to pierce our hardened hearts and awaken our morbid souls or dying souls." Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18. We begin reading. Verse 12. Paul writes, says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that the day of Christ I have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we look at your word, God, we thank you so much that Paul wrote this letter of encouragement. Sometimes, God, we need to be reminded of who we are. God, we need to be reminded of our task here on this earth. That you created us with a purpose and with a plan in mind. God, meet us today here in this service. May we walk out of here changed and different people than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes, "Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now listen, this is not a message about saving yourself through good works. This is not a message that you can be saved if you work hard enough for God. If you do enough volunteering, if you do enough benevolent work, that's not salvation. There's no merit in that for your salvation, none at all. No, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling is actually a message of God's grace at work in you. It's all God working in you and in me. Well, here's a few thoughts this morning. We had to call them points. The first point would be this, that God working in us in order to work through us. That God has to work in us in order that we would want to work for Him. For Him to work through us, He has to work in us. He has to do something in this old boy's heart, in this old boy's soul, all the time, always working in me, so that I can work for Him. Usually I find that the people who refuse to work for God, to serve God, are the ones that there's no work of God being done on the inside. Because let me tell you what, when God gets a hold of you, He won't turn you loose. And He does a transformational work in you that you can't help but want to serve Him. See, to better understand this meaning, we need to understand how Paul tied verse 12 in with verse 9 through 11. In verse 12, it began, so then. So then what? Well, we look back up at verse 9. He says about Jesus, says, for this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Talking about Jesus. So here's my paraphrase of verse 10 through 13, 10 and 11. So then, because Jesus is highly exalted, because God has bestowed on Him the name above every name, because at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, because for the glory of God the Father, because of these things, because of Jesus Christ, because these things about Him are true, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God is working in us in order to work through us, verse 13 says. For it is God who is at working in you. Verse 13 tells us, because of Christ Jesus, there should be a change and a transformation because of the grace of God working in us that we want to serve Him. We'll have a desire to serve Him to the very last breath. I've had people, Brother Kevin, I can't do as much as I used to. I'm getting older. Oh, sister, you can pray. We need prayer warriors. And I know how you bake that pie, too. You can always feed the hungry. You see? We think there's nothing that God can do with us anymore in serving Him. Oh, there's plenty that God can do with us in serving Him. The only limitation is our own self. It's just us. So, verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work in you. Well, how is God at work in us? How is God? We can't see anything. He's sanctifying us. The first thing we see is He's sanctifying us. When the Holy Spirit regenerated us and we responded to Christ in faith and repentance, regeneration means being made spiritually alive. We were made spiritually alive. We see Jesus for who He is. We respond in faith and repentance of our sins. We turn from where we're going through the on-ramp, off-ramp of brokenness. And here we are, we're following Christ now. We're changed, we're new creations because of God's grace for us. His grace continues to work in our lives. It's a gift. It consistently operates in our sanctification. Sanctification means that we're being refined all the time to be more like Jesus. It's sweeping out the old and bringing in the new. Sweeping out the old, bringing in the new. And the closer you get to Christ, the more fine those small things are that are in our life that we used to just kind of overlook, that God says, no, we need to get that out of it. And you know what? We respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit as He moves across our life and He brushes these things out. That's the grace of God working in us. Sanctification is that process of being made more like Christ. This process begins at the moment of salvation until we breathe our last breath. Listen, we're saved instantly. We say yes to Jesus, we're saved instantaneously. in a twinkling of an eye. Heaven is our home. There's a lot of life to live between now and then. And sanctification is that part of getting the old Kevin out of the way and letting the new Kevin live. Getting the old Kevin out of the way. And Monday through Sunday, it's every day, every moment, every day, every moment. I'll encounter new things and I'll have these old desires that want to go back to that. And the Holy Spirit is constantly sweeping it out of the way. That's sanctification. And we all go through it as believers. If you're not a believer, then you're not going through it. You just accept sin in your life. And you don't pay any attention to it. Oh, you wish you were a better person, but you're really not really wanting to get rid of it. See, grace does not mean that we are passive in this outworking of God's redemption. As the Lord sanctifies us, we act. Not to earn our way to heaven, but to become more like Christ, because Jesus Christ has earned our way to heaven, and because He is working in us to prepare us for heaven. Every moment of every day is a process of God's grace sanctifying us as believers every day. Whether you're on your job, whether you're at your house, with your family, with your wife, at church, wherever you are, school, wherever you are, God is working in you to clean you up. Always. Holy Spirit just brushes across our soul, evaluating all things that we see, all the thoughts that we ponder, voices that we hear, all the things that we, you know, all the things that we read. Holy Spirit sifts out the sin, the temptations, the selfish ambitions, all those things that are bent against the work of God in us. Holy Spirit is busy if we'll just submit to Him. He's always wanting to brush things out. Always wanting to to clean us up. Always wanting to refine us to be more like Jesus. If you're not more like Jesus today than the day that you gave your life to Christ, why not? It's because you've walked away. It's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to keep cleaning you up. It's because you've done something. Oh, Lord, I want to go my way. We have an active role in God's sanctifying work in us. We're not passive participants. Not that our part adds merit to the Holy Spirit's divine work, but we must be, by faith, submit our will to His will by surrendering to His Lordship. God works in us through His grace to give us the will to obey Him. This old boy here won't obey God if the Holy Spirit wasn't working in me, and you will not either. That old nature wants to keep resurrecting and come back and call you back to where you used to be, the life that you used to live. If you're not submitting to the Holy Spirit, and that's an act of your will, that's an intentionality, submitting to Him every day, every morning, Lord, lead me. Active part. As the Lord works in us to refine us to be more like Christ, He's working us to produce good works of obedience. God wants us to be obedient, but God also not only obedience in our personal life, but also in serving Him. So, Brother Kevin, I didn't come here to hear a message about service. Too bad. You got it. Why? Because it's biblical. It's scripture. You see the second part of that, verse 13, that God is working through us to serve. So He's cleaning us up to be obedient to serve. Verse 13, the latter part says, "For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Paul's reminding the church that the sanctifying work of God's grace is also to produce good works through them. Not just to make us more like Christ, but because He's making us more like Christ, because of Christ, who Christ is and who He is to us, that He's cleaning us up to be obedient, to serve God. How do we serve God? By serving others. By serving others. Good works, volunteering, serving others is a call to every believer, not just to the pastor, not to just the church staff, not to those people down there at the church who seem to be the there for everything. No. If you say Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are called to serve without exemption or excuse. Without. But in the average church, it's the hardest thing to get people to serve in any capacity. Oh, I just don't have time. You don't have time for Jesus. That's what He saved you for. That's what He saved you for. I heard a pastor say this several years ago. His church was full. I mean, this big Coliseum type deal. He looked up at that congregation. He said, listen. He said, some of you are here for the show, and you don't want to serve. He said, just get your little narrow behind out of that chair and leave right now, because there's somebody else out there who wants that chair who will serve. Why? He was put it in a very abrupt way that we're all called, all of us, to serve God. See, it's one of the basic outflowing of God's grace working in our life. That this grace that God is working in us goes out of us to a hurting and dark world. We do not serve to earn merit for salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 through 10 tells us that. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace through faith alone in Christ. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. The latter part of that says you are saved for a purpose and a reason. Not that your good works adds any merit to your salvation, because your salvation is in Christ. But your good works is fulfilling what God has already planned out for you when He saved you. He already has these things lined out. He's just waiting for you to do them. He's waiting for me to do them. And sometimes it's a little scary. I'm going to be honest. This is not my natural thing here. My natural thing would be on the back row somewhere, chilling. This is not the norm for me. Some people think, well, you want to preach every opportunity. Yes, I told my sister yesterday, I'll preach to the last breath. I'll proclaim Jesus. Because He's everything. He's everything. We're saved for good work. We're saved to serve Christ. God has work planned and waiting for us to do for His kingdom before we even saved. When Christ saves us by His grace through faith, we're taking on the responsibility of saving. Did you know when you gave your life to Christ and you were baptized in Him, you said, yes, I'll serve you, Lord. Oh, that didn't come in the literature? It's in this literature. Oh, today, James reminds us of this. In chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, says, what use is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Is that faith saving? Listen, what James is doing, he's asking a specific question about some Christians' intentional neglect of exercising their faith through service. There are a lot of people who say yes to Jesus, but they refuse to do anything for Christ. Refuse. I'm saved, I'm good. According to James, your faith is dead. That was never faith anyway. You felt bad about something, you wanted something. But Listen to what James says in verse 18. It says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, well, I have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. My Lord, you're saved through faith alone in Christ Jesus. But if that faith doesn't inspire you, doesn't motivate you, doesn't move you, and that's the Holy Spirit working in you, doesn't move you to serve and want to serve and to be a part of the great things that God is doing in this world, if that doesn't move you, James is saying it was never faith to start off. It's pretty clean. Pretty clear. We're saved not by faith plus works. We're saved by faith in Christ alone. And because of our faith in Him, there's an outflow of grace through us to serve God by serving others. Faith produces good works to honor and glorify God our Father. Our faith, alive in action, serves God. We can't help it. We can't help but serve God. So God's grace is working in us so He can work through us. The second thing we see here is we are lights to the world. We are lights to the world. See, Paul stresses to the church that because of God's grace in us, working to refine us to be more like Christ, we're to be ready and willing to serve Him, His glory. Paul is telling believers, then applies to us today in verse 14 and 15. He says, do all things without grumbling and disputing or arguing. Verse 15 says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights to the world. Paul reminds the people of God that they have been made into lights to shine forth in the dark and perverse world. Imagine this is your life. Troy, if you'll hit the lights real quick. This is you. This is how we should shine in a world that needs Jesus. That everyone around knows there's something different about us. Our language is different. Our jokes are different. Our laughter is different. There's a joy inside of us, even through trial. Listen, I'm not saying that we're happy all the time. I'm saying there's just a joy. Even in the midst of trials, there's this peace that God gives and that we serve, that we give. That we give of ourselves, our time, our talent, our resources, whatever God has blessed us with. We can get. We are lights in the world. You are called to be a light in a dark world. And that's the way the world should see us, is see us as something different, that we're shining out, that there's something that God is doing in us because it's shining through us. And even when pressure comes and smashes us, all it does is get more light out. That the light of Christ just breaks through. You see, there's... Get the lights back on. And we're called to be that kind of light. Evaluate your own self. Are you shining for Christ? Where others around you know that there's something different about you? Do they know you are a Christian? That you may say, I go down to First Baptist Church in Ville Platte. I'm glad you're here. But I hope other people say, man, there's something different about that guy. He's saved. He's born again. And he goes to the church over there. See, let that be a different thought. Let it be that Jesus shines first through you. See, we all are to show as Christ, as lights of Christ. We're to serve others in the name of Jesus. And Paul reminds us of something that we are to serve. Verse 14, it says, do all things. While we're serving, do all things without complaining and without arguing. Boy, does that hit home. Because, see, even though we're called to serve, even though we're called and set apart to be different, we're to act differently too. How many times have you volunteered to do something, maybe down at the church or on a mission trip, or maybe you and some friends got together and went and cooked something for a neighbor, but you did it to honor Christ because that's Christ shining. But something didn't go your way. You weren't satisfied about it. You know, you may have even said, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. And you begin to grumble and begin to murmur about it. And maybe you even got in a little spat with someone because you wanted it one way and they were doing it a different way. And you pouted because you wanted it your way. Your way was best. Quit being a controller. Paul just says, quit murmuring, quit arguing, quit disputing. Why? Because you're like to Christ. Think about it. How many people will be turned off to Jesus because Christians don't know how to keep their mouth shut? We got a sorry attitude while we're serving. And the people that we're serving with get a bitter taste in their mouth. And they don't want to come back and serve with us anymore. The people who we are serving say, is this what Jesus is really about? Man, those people can't get along very good at all. The lost world looking at us, murmuring under our breath, well, I sure wouldn't have done it that way. I tell you, they don't know what they do down there. There's a reason that we're warned that we will be held accountable for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. There's a reason Isaiah said it over in the Old Testament, I'm a man of unclean lips. And an angel had to touch his lips to purify him. Our mouth gets us in so much trouble. Paul's trying to tell us that. When you serve with the joy of Christ. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to go your way. But listen, it's going to go God's way anyway. God has it set up like this, and you're doing like this, and you're like, no, I don't like it that way. I'm going to do it my way. Hey, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Your way may be better, but that's not the way it's going. The more you complain and murmur and argue, everybody loses. Everyone loses. This light is no longer shining. It's been covered over. Because people don't remember the great, wonderful things that you did. They remember the attitude of the people who done it. And when we're bitter, or when we're murmuring against the leaders, we're murmuring against this, we're murmuring against that, and we're arguing about this, when we're doing all that, we are outside of God's will, and it's sin. And Paul says, stop. Don't do that. That's not glorifying Jesus. That's looking for a pat on the back and glorifying ourselves. Complaining or murmuring, even our tone of voice of frustration, maybe our attitude of discontent. So it doesn't resonate well with those whom we serve, in ministry, and those whom we serve who are in need. Paul says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Why? Paul tells us in verse 15. He says, so that you will prove yourselves. When you're out there serving, serve with joy in your heart. Serve because of Christ. Don't serve because of personal gain or some selfish ambition. That's wrong. Stay at home if that's all you've got. We're to serve Christ with the joy of the Lord in us because God has blessed us. God is working in us so that we can work for Him. So that you can prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights. I think that's pretty clear. We're constantly on stage in this world. They see us as Christians and they evaluate whether Christ truly has a hold on us and living through us. We are living proof of the transformation Christ brings. We're not perfect, yet we are to live above reproach. Reproach means that we are to live above disapproval or disappointment or disgrace or discredit or blame. We're to live that way. So grumbling and complaining and arguing and gossiping discredits us as believers and dims our light for Christ in this dark world. And hey, I get it. It's easy when things are hard to not be satisfied. And God has given us all a mind of our own. And we usually think our way is best. But maybe our way is not the way that God wants us to do things. Sometimes, you know what? Some of our personalities, we're like a bull in a china shop. We just go. We don't think about the big picture. We don't think about all those things coming together. If we do this and do that, don't do this over here, don't do that. Sometimes we just want to do. We have a servant's heart, but we want to do it this way. And many times that's not the beneficial way. Paul says, don't argue about it. Stay above reproach. Let Christ shine through you. You may not get everything done that you wanted to get done, but you're making headway. You're making progress. Stay the course. Stay the course. Verse 16, the third thing we see, we're closing. Paul says, cling to the gospel of Jesus. He's working in you by His grace to transform you, to be obedient, to serve Him. And he says, serve. But he also says, don't serve in ignorance. Cling to the gospel. He says, holding fast the word of life, so that the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Paul will say, listen, all the work I've done and poured into you and taught you how to live for Christ, listen, don't throw it away. I've given you the word, the gospel of Christ. I've given that to you. Live it out. Don't throw it away. Cling to it. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. Don't water it down. You see, people like a watered-down gospel today, which is not a gospel anyway. They like feel-good messages. Man, I like to go to church because I feel good about it over there. If you're coming over here to make yourself feel good, you'll be sorrily disappointed. There's some messages that are encouraging. But see, the Lord didn't call me into ministry to make you feel good about yourself. The Lord called me to ministry to preach the Word of God. And whatever it does, whatever the Holy Spirit does in your life, I can't help it. I'm just giving it to you. And sometimes it hurts. Believe me, I spent many hours writing it. It hurt then. And if it hurt me, I don't mind sharing it with you. You see? It says, cling to the word. Cling to it. Don't let it get away from you. Study God's word. Be in the word. Know how to live this life. How to serve others. Be in that word, because people need to know the truth. Not all people go to heaven. Universalism teaches that all people go to heaven. They've taken God's word and twisted it around to make it sound like Jesus died for the sins of everybody, so everybody goes to heaven. No, that's not right. He died for all the sins and paid the price for all the sins. But only those who by faith and repentance receive him as their Savior. There's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. That's all. Paul says, hold fast. He's urging believers to cling to the truth of the gospel. Do not forsake Christ. Do not water down the message of grace, forgiveness, faith in Jesus, and coming and the coming judgment. Stay the course. Persevere in your faith. Listen, it's a long, hard road of fighting sin and living by faith. Fighting the sin that wants to overtake us all the time. But we have to endure the challenges. Fight the good fight. Persevere to the very end. Cling to the gospel. Hold fast to the word. Your perseverance in the power of the Holy Spirit gives us confidence that we will succeed in God's providential plan. And heaven is our inheritance. See, our guarantee comes with the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us when we say yes to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I truly believe when you're born again in Christ Jesus, he will help you evaluate any messages that you hear and turn you away from them that are not true. When people take the gospel and want to take a verse here and a verse there and make up their own belief system, and the Holy Spirit living in you, and you hear that, you're just like, no, that's not right. That's not right. We have to be students of the Word, but we also have to know the Holy Spirit said, that just doesn't settle. And I'm amazed when church-going folks can turn on some heresy on TV and preachers are spewing out things that are a verse here, a few verses there, things taken out of context, and they actually believe that garbage. That troubles me. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings God's word to life. When you hear false things, it just sticks out to you. It's like, that's not right. Not what Jesus meant in the word. You see, the gospel we claim in Christ Jesus and live out in the power of the Holy Spirit will transform lives. Jesus can set free the addict. He can dry up the alcoholic. He can restore marriages. He can bring wayward children back home. He can call the sick and heal them. He can heal the grieving and depressed and those struggling with temptations. He can give them strength to flee. But most of all, Jesus will set free the sinner. He will set free the sinner. That spiritually dead person, he can bring them to life. Christ. That destitute person who is looking forward to dying in this life, and all he has to look forward to is heaven. Jesus can save him. He give him inheritance that will never rust, that will never corrupt, and never fade. Paul says in verse 17, he says, I rejoice in this. I rejoice in Christ. make my joy with you all, as I share my joy with you all. Because of what Jesus has done in me, I rejoice and I share it with you. He said in verse 18, he says, you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way. And share your joy with me. Paul is telling believers, listen, this pure joy to be saved. Think about it. Think about it just for a moment. That Jesus called you out of a dark, perverse world. You were going to hell. You were going straight to hell. Not one of us. I'll use the redneck word. It almost slipped out. Ne'er one of us. Ne'er one of us deserved to go to heaven, including me. All of us. Christ is the only perfect one. The rest of us are all sinners. We're destitute to hell. But Jesus Christ said, I love you, and went and paid the price for our sins so that he can call us to salvation. Listen to me. That's joy. The gospel message of Jesus Christ that we hold up, that should bring joy, and we should rejoice in that because he can't change lives. He's changed ours. And if he hasn't changed yours, why not? Do you even know him? You see, we'll never be perfect, but boy, we're a work in progress. There's a work in progress to be more like Christ. There's a joy to know that the God of the universe thought enough about you and about me, our little bitty selves in Ville Platte, Louisiana. And he loved us enough to save us. Not because of anything we did. There's no salvation in this alone. But because of everything Jesus did. He thought enough of us to pull us out of this life and call us his own and give us an inheritance we'll never fail. That's joy. We should be celebrating with joy. We should come to church. This is worship time. This is one to exalt and honor. This is time we exalt and honor the very one who gave us eternal life. It's not a time that we just sit and listen to some music or hear a message. This is a time of rejoicing and celebration. Oh, Christians today, there's something we need in our churches is for Christians to come alive and rejoice and to celebrate. Not go through the motions, but understand who you are in Christ. And listen, that ought to stir you. You may want to run around the church. Maybe just lift your hands up and say, shout, amen, Lord, thank you. Always surprises me. We'll go to a basketball game or football game and we act like fools out there. All right, man, did you see that touch? You see he caught the ball? He was supposed to catch the ball. But we go to church and like, what happened? There's no joy. There's no celebration. God made us people who are people to exalt him. He saved us to exalt him. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice with me. Rejoice because Jesus even saved our broken, wretched selves. Rejoice because he gave us an inheritance in his kingdom. When we get real about Jesus in our life, we can't help but serve and share and celebrate for all today. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus that Paul's talking about? And he's stirring his grace inside of you to make you obedient to him in all ways. Do you know this Jesus who's called you to serve? If you do, cling to the gospel. Not a Sunday morning. There's an everyday walk with God. Every moment walk with him. To be different. To be a light in the world. For today, this altar is open if you want to come just pray. Says, Brother Kevin, I'm not used to going to that altar and praying. What do you do up there? Just you and God pray. That's all. It's just you making time with God. Well, I can do that in my seat. Yeah, you can. Always found that something about walking those steps and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, I'm yours. Lord, don't know you, but I want to forgive myself. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I come praying for my son. I come praying that you strengthen him, Lord. Lord, he's lost. He needs you, God, that you break him down and bring him to you. Lord, my family's going through a difficult time, Lord. You know what it is already, but God, I'm coming to you in faith at your altar, Lord, and saying, here it is, Lord. I submit myself. God, I've got that surgery coming up, Lord. I know I'm a little nervous about it, God, because I don't know the outcome. God, whatever it is, just give me strength. I want to be obedient to you. God, I haven't been served. I found every excuse in the book not to be a servant. And Lord, I come today, open myself up to wherever you want me to be. Serve. I want to be obedient. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Lord, thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, as we come before you, God, there are many things in our mind, our hearts right now. Some are rejoicing and some are looking inside themselves, Lord, just kind of reflecting. And Lord, they see some brokenness. They see some emptiness. God, there are families who need your prayer. Lord, they need you to intervene. Some hurt going on. We need healing. God, there are some husbands and wives who are not serving you. And Lord, we just pray that you call them back. Lord, you have your way today. We submit ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name.